management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
Come as you are indeed. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Let me give you an update of where things stand. Pretty much, we have lawsuits filed in a whole bunch of states, which means that their electoral votes cannot yet be allocated. And because their electoral votes cannot yet be allocated, there is no president-elect. This is just a posture the Democrats are assuming in their ongoing effort to execute a coup against the people of the United States by deposing the democratically elected president with a maelstrom of voter fraud. More about that as we proceed. But since Nevada, Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, Georgia, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania all have legal cases against them, they cannot be decided, they cannot be certified. And as a consequence, there are 94 electoral votes still in play. Now, here's a summary of how things stand in various of these states. Wisconsin. A recount has been requested after a suspicious 22% increase in voters from 2016. Michigan. David A. Coleman, senior counsel with the Great Lakes Justice Center, declared clear fraud, and thousands of unregistered people were allowed to vote by mail. Pennsylvania. 10 attorneys have asked the Supreme Court to take up the case for fraud. Also, Ohio's attorney general is asking the high court to take the case in Pennsylvania, and Missouri's attorney general will sign a court brief for the same purpose. How questionable are these results when attorneys general from other states join the cause? Over a million ballots, primarily from Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, are in question. Georgia. Georgia's voting system manager, Gabriel Sterling, said the elections were imperfect and that officials are sure to find that some people did vote illegally, where a hand recount is now underway. Nevada. The Trump campaign has an affidavit from a whistleblower who witnessed people inside a Biden-Harris van opening, filling out, and resealing mail-in ballots. Arizona. The election is too close to call with about 50,000 ballots left to count. One can only guess as to how several million votes were counted election day, but the remaining ballots are taking a week. That's all very, very telling. Meanwhile, we have Joe Biden's top ally. This is a guy he's making his chief of staff, made a shocking admission about elections back in 2014. This is a guy by the name of Ronald Klain, K-L-A-I-N. After Biden named Klain as his chief of staff, attention quickly focused on a 2014 tweet from Klain responding to a story in Vox.com explaining that 68% of Americans think elections are rigged. Klain responded, "That's because they are." And you can rest assured that the Biden camp, whether we're talking about his double or the real Joe, however, who may be so incapacitated he has no idea what's going on these days. Meanwhile, we have an anti-Trump Dominion voting system security chief who is participating in Antifa calls and posted a manifesto letter to Trump online. This is a guy named Eric Comer. This is a very interesting story because this guy's a big gun with Dominion. In a stunning interview conducted by Michelle Malkin, Joe Altman of FEC, that's Faith Education Commercial United founder, reveals how he infiltrated Antifa and how during a conversation with Antifa members, he discovered Eric from Dominion was part of the chat during the week of September 27, 2020. Altman explained that Eric was telling Antifa members that they needed to keep up the pressure. When Altman asked, "Who's Eric?" someone answered, "Eric, he's the Dominion guy." Altman said that as the conversation continued, someone asked, "What are we going to do if effing Trump wins?" Altman paraphrased how Eric, the Dominion guy, responded, "Don't worry about the election. Trump's not going to win. I made effing sure of that. I, Eric Connor, made effing sure of that." Comer, C-O-M-E-R. Now, it's important because we have Sidney Powell talking about being ready to overturn election results in multiple states. Now, you need to appreciate Sidney Powell is a very serious heavyweight attorney. She was Michael Flynn's attorney. She knows what she's doing. Some have described her as the best legal mind in the country. So here we have a former federal prosecutor, Sidney Powell, now a Trump campaign lawyer, suggesting in a Sunday interview that the president's legal team is receiving a deluge of evidence concerning voter fraud and irregularities. "We're getting ready to overturn election results in multiple states," Powell said on Fox Business with Marina Bartiromo. That was yesterday morning. adding that she has enough evidence of election fraud to launch a widespread criminal investigation. I don't make comments without having the evidence to back it up. Now, here is an interview she did with Lou Dobbs that I want everyone to listen to. And remember the name of that guy, Eric Comer, because he makes an appearance here.
Breaking news now. Dominion voting systems say they categorically deny any and all of President Trump's claims that their voting machines caused any voter fraud in key swing states or electoral fraud. But reports contradict that claim. In 2016, a senior executive at Dominion told the Illinois State Board of Elections that it is possible to bypass their election system software. Here's what the vice president of engineering at Dominion at that time, Eric Comer, told the board during a meeting in good old Cook County.
No, we are not allowed to do routine updates without having to go through a recertification effort, but we do routinely give guidance on how to best secure systems. And also going back again to the final mitigation against all of this is a robust auditing and canvassing process, which all of our jurisdictions have implemented.
Comer said no updates can be done without recertification, as you heard. Mr. Comer's assurances of a secure system, however, are contradicted by the fact that various vendors, election officials, and others reportedly can access the voting machine code without an update being required. And we know that there were updates on those machines a day before the election. Well, joining us tonight is Sidney Powell, a member of President Trump's legal team, General Flynn's defense attorney, a great American and prominent appellate lawyer. Great to have you with us, Sidney. Let's start with Dominion. A straight out disavowal of any claim of fraud against the company, its software or machines. Your reaction?
Well, I can hardly wait to put forth all the evidence we have collected on Dominion, starting with the fact it was created to produce altered voting results in Venezuela for Hugo Chavez and then shipped internationally to manipulate votes for purchase in other countries, including this one. It was funded by money from Venezuela and Cuba, and China has a role in it also. So if you want to talk about foreign election interference, we certainly have it now. We have staggering statistical evidence. We have staggering testimony from witnesses, including one who was personally in briefings when all of this was discussed and planned, beginning with Hugo Chavez and how it was designed there, and then saw it happening in this country. As soon as the state shut down on election night and stopped counting, those are the states where the most egregious problems occurred. We also need to look at, and we're beginning to collect evidence on the financial interests of some of the governors and secretaries of state who actually bought into the Dominion systems, surprisingly enough. Hunter Biden type graft to line their own pockets by getting a voting machine in that would either make sure their election was successful or they got money for their family from it.
Well, that's straightforward. It may take you're going to have to be quick to go through and to produce that investigation and the results of it. The December deadlines are approaching for electors, and just as we saw in 2000 with Bush v. Gore, how critical are those deadlines, and how urgent does that make your investigation and discovery?
Well, for fraud this serious, I think even if the states are stupid enough to go ahead and certify the votes where we know the machines were operating and producing altered election results, if they're stupid enough to do that, then they will be set aside by the fraud also. I mean, we are talking about hundreds of thousands of votes. President Trump won this election in a landslide. It's going to be irrefutable, and patriots are coming forward every day, all day, faster than we can collect their information with the testimony they're willing to give under oath about how their votes were stolen and how the machines operated. They were updated the night of the election, sometimes after the election. We've got statistical evidence that shows hundreds of thousands of votes being just put in and replicated. It's going to be... There needs to be a massive criminal investigation, and it's going to affect millions of voters and elections.
With these allegations, these charges, is the FBI already carrying out an investigation of these voting companies where their servers are domiciled? And in at least three instances, we know they're in foreign countries. Tell us where the Justice Department is in all of this.
I wish I knew. I'm not on the inside, so I'm not privy to that information. I know that even Democratic senators and Congress people for years have reported problems with this system to the FBI and to the government, and nobody's done a blooming thing about it. The people in the election security part of Department of Homeland Security need to be fired yesterday. They're absolutely ridiculous. Of course, Chris Wray needs to be fired, too, because the only FBI interview of any witness was to intimidate him and try to get him to change his truthful testimony 4 hours by an anti-Trump FBI agent. They still have politics infecting the FBI instead of just following the law. We are on the precipice of this is essentially a new American revolution. And anybody who wants this country to remain free needs to step up right now. These are federal felonies. Altering a vote or changing a ballot is a federal felony. People need to come forward now and get on the right side of this issue and report the fraud they know existed in Dominion voting systems, because that's what it was created to do. It was its sole original purpose. It has been used all over the world to defy the will of people who wanted freedom.
Cindy, at the outset of this broadcast, I said that this is the culmination of what has been over a four-year effort to overthrow this president, to first deny his candidacy, election, but then to overthrow his presidency. This looks like the effort to carry out an end game in the effort against him. Do you concur?
Oh, absolutely. And it's been organized and conducted with the help of Silicon Valley people, the big tech companies, the social media companies, and even the media companies. And I'm going to release the Kraken.
Well, good, because this is an extraordinary and such a dangerous moment in our history. I really am very concerned for the country. I am very concerned for all Americans. And I have a feeling that most Democrats are first Americans and not Democrats. They have to be as alarmed as any one of us. Cindy, we're glad that you are on the charge to straighten out all of this. It is a foul mess, and it is far more sinister than any of us could have imagined, even over the course of the past 4 years. You get the last word, Cindy.
It is indeed a very foul mess. It is farther and wider and deeper than we ever thought, but we are going to go after it, and I am going to expose every one of them.
Cindy Powell, thanks for being with us, and thanks for all that you're doing.
Let me say that you've just been listening to the woman who is right now the second most important person in the United States, second only to Donald Trump, president himself. The idea that anyone could dispute the massive amount of fraud that's taken place in the face of all the evidence is a bit difficult for me to comprehend. We just had a fake Joe Biden press conference up here where it was being reported on Fox, and was followed, I was glad to say, by a report about Sidney having been on Fox News on Sunday with Maria Bartiromo making these same sorts of allegations, observing that President Trump won a landslide, not just by hundreds of thousands of votes, but by millions. here are some of, I mean, I must have 100 different reports of voter fraud myself. Here's a few. RNC Chair Rhoda McDaniel says she has 500 sworn affidavits of 11,000 incidents of voter fraud. Where Kayleigh McEnany runs through the shocking allegations of voter irregularities revealed in 234 pages of signed and sworn affidavits. These are real, and anyone who cares about transparency and integrity of the system should want this to proceed to the discovery phase. Here's more. General Flynn, whom Sidney has represented. This is as serious a constitutional crisis as our nation has ever faced. We will only be the beacon of hope for the world if we're willing to stand with courage and integrity and defend our republic. Mentioning, I'm going to release the Kraken, Sidney Powell's remark with Lou Dobbs, translation, all hell is about to break loose. My vernacular rendition, the best lawyer in the history of America is about to lay waste all involved in the fraud against the legal voter. We have more. It turns out that four Democrat senators have warned of potential vote switching by Dominion voting machines prior to the 2020 election. I repeat, these were four Democrat senators who are raising objections, and for good reason. In 2018 alone, voters in South Carolina were reporting machines that switched their votes after they'd input them. Scanners were rejecting paper ballots in Missouri. Busted machines were causing long lines in Indiana. In addition, researchers recently uncovered previously undisclosed vulnerabilities in nearly three dozen back-end election systems in 10 states. And just this year, after the Democratic candidate's electronic tally showed he received 164 votes out of 55,000 cast in a Pennsylvania state judicial election in 2019. The county's Republican chairwoman said nothing went right on election day. Everything went wrong. That's a problem. The letter continued, these problems threaten the integrity of our elections and demonstrate the importance of election systems that are strong, durable, and not vulnerable to attack. And I repeat, that was from four Democratic senators. Meanwhile, Rudy Giuliani, who's also a part of the president's team, has alleged there are enough unlawful ballots to turn the election in Trump's favor, which, of course, has been said, too, by Sidney Powell, that he won the election not just by hundreds of thousands of votes, but by millions. Giuliani alleges that there are more than 300,000 unlawful ballots in Pennsylvania, as well as a similar number in Michigan. He said the Trump campaign has multiple witnesses regarding irregularities that occurred on or before Election Day. He emphasized it's the voting machines, however, that caused the most discrepancy. This is a stolen election, said Giuliani. I know the elites don't want to hear it, but it's a stolen election. Meanwhile, there was a massive Stop the Steal rally in Washington, D.C., with hundreds of thousands of Trump supporters there. Most significantly now, Dominion voting systems and Seitel servers seized in Germany. Seitel is spelled S-C-Y-T-L, a Spanish company. This is a major, major development. I have at least a dozen sources on this. Here are some of the elements. Robert David Steele has reported, Trump will not concede. They've captured all the servers in Germany with fraud evidence. We are a go for a righteous triumph. I can confirm from multiple sources with proven access to President Trump that he will not concede, and that he has all the evidence he needs to fry the deep state financial, political, and media miscreants. Just as I'm writing the above, Ed Jewett came in with a below. It's a game changer. Somewhere in here, Angela Merkel must have made the deal with our president. Here it is. People on the ground in Germany report that Sittel, hosting your election data improperly through Spain, was raided by a large U.S. Army force, and their servers were seized in Frankfurt. Sent by a reader. Maybe what's laid out in this thread is related to Esper's firing. Apparently, U.S. Special Forces raided Siddle in Frankfurt, Germany, confiscating all the computers and servers. An outlet in Germany first reported the raid yesterday. Newsmax picked it up and led with it. Sabrina D'Souza, a CIA agent Brennan burned in Italy, whom Trump, I believe, pardoned, wrote this, Sabrina D'Souza. So Haspel's visit to the Senate Majority Leader's office may have gone like this. Mission accomplished, Dominion vote machines sequestered. Then there's a thread by Sidney Powell along the lines that I've been discussing, where Powell and Giuliani are in the lead working with Celical. This is a really smart attorney who's Trump's best, in my opinion, with now, I would say. I mean, Celical and Sidney are just a fantastic, a true dynamic duo. Trump's lead attorney in this mess, Powell, in my opinion, would never be loose with facts by retweeting something this alarming. Meanwhile, Giuliani's interview with Dobbs. Giuliani says Dominion has ties with Smartmatic, which served as the main technology supplier for Venezuelan elections, including those of Hugo Chavez. Giuliani says Dominion's lobbyist is Georgia Governor Brian Kemp's former chief of staff. And would you believe, the chief executive officer at Dominion is Nancy Pelosi's chief of staff. And Dianne Feinstein's husband is a principal stockholder in Dominion. No wonder Nancy was predicting there'd be a blue wave. She knew the fix was in, just as was being explained on that Antifa chat line thread. I mean, this is disgusting beyond belief. We'll be right back.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to uphold the hand of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I've pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect, Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I'll, of course, be taking callers during the second hour, where the number is 540-352-4452. Mitchell is here to handle your call. 540-352-4452. Meanwhile, the president has retweeted a tweet from Dan Scorvino showing him playing a violin, with a statement, my next piece is called Nothing Can Stop What's Coming. Trump adds his comment, who knows what this means, but it sounds good to me. Well, here's a report about it. Not just a catchphrase. Does this mean there's been a double meaning to the phrase all along besides the obvious implication? We believe there was, and we are upgrading our cautious optimism to what one reader called realistic optimism. In November of 2018, Trump's Department of Homeland Security established the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Agency, CISA, to protect the integrity of U.S. elections. CISA itself oversees another sub-agency to develop the products needed to assist DHS in working with public safety partners involved in interoperable communications at all levels of government. In other words, if something like a blockchain communication embedded in a watermark was indeed added to the ballot, strictly speaking, actually to the paper that was distributed to the various states for them to print their ballots, this particular subdivision of CISA would have been tasked with setting up the sting operation by working with private vendors and public safety partners. And the nature of this subgroup is the National Council of Statewide Interoperability Coordinators, official acronym being NCSWIC, initials which also perfectly match Nothing Can Stop What Is Coming. Coincidence? Any more than Melania on Election Day wearing a dress with a blockchain pattern? For those who may have missed the memo, recall, that Steve Pachinik, about a week ago or so, revealed that the president had set up an elaborate sting that all of the ballots, actually the paper on which the legal ballots would be printed, had a watermark that could be tracked by blockchain technology, which means that they know where every legal ballot has gone, who has cast them, what was their ultimate disposition. Were the Democrats unaware that the real ballots had a watermark and could be tracked, brought in hundreds and hundreds of thousands of additional ballots they manufactured. They hadn't hoped to do it, but it turned out that the Dominion software, which has an incredible design, that it actually includes the ability to print or to revise ballots as one of its components, as James Woods, the actor, may have been the first to reveal, so that, you know, you have complete control over the outcome, and where they were monitoring the result in real time so they could make adjustments to how they needed to control the vote. This is so obscene, it's almost beyond words. But where if Pachinik has it right, then actually Donald Trump has all the information he could possibly need in order to prove the massive theft of the election. Now it appears they have all the Dominion servers in addition, and we have Sidney Powell on the job. I mean, this is really an ideal situation. And when I first heard of the blockchain technology, I reached out for confirmation, and I received it virtually immediately from someone in contact with the Trump administration who confirmed that blockchain was indeed being used here, that suggesting that what Pachinik was describing was exactly right. Pachinik was saying how the president was playing the art of war just as successfully as he does the art of the deal, and where in relation to the presumptive victories by Biden-Harris, that his enemies were coming out and being so obvious and making themselves known in the false belief they no longer had anything to fear politically from Donald Trump, that he actually has succeeded in a revelation of those high and low, even closet opponents of Donald Trump who are making themselves manifest. Now the question becomes, what legal actions are going to be taken? It appears Sidney Powell is going to be in the driver's seat, but obviously the Attorney General Bill Barr is going to make a difference. So here's a nice piece by Larry Johnson, who's a former CIA turned whistleblower, just as Robert David Steele is a former CIA turned whistleblower. What is Bill Barr going to do? There are a lot of Trump supporters who are very frustrated, even angry, with the silence of Attorney General Bill Barr in the wake of last 2 days' attempted Democratic heist of the presidential election. But there are indications that Barr, who understands what it takes to fight the entrenched bureaucracy that is aligned with a conspiracy that involves the media, tech companies, and computer software companies supplying voting machines, is preparing to move in a dramatic, far-reaching strike to expose this fraud. He had an interview with Wutz Blisser, where a friend who knows Barr very well suggested that he rarely shows this kind of visceral anger, and where Larry adds he finds it difficult to believe that in the ensuing 2 months after that interview, Barr has decided to curl up into a fetal position and allow the public, the Republic, to be eviscerated. Now look at the actions on Monday. That would be a week ago. Barr, following Department of Justice protocol, sent a letter authorizing federal prosecutors across the U.S. to pursue substantial allegations of voting irregularities. That same day, the Department of Justice official in charge of voter fraud investigations, Richard P. Pilger resign. Pilger is a compromised deep stater. I believe, writes Larry Johnson, his resignation was at a minimum encouraged by Barr. In tandem with the Department of Justice moves, President Trump fired Secretary of Defense Esper. The reason, I believe, is simple. Trump wanted to ensure he had someone running the Department of Defense who is not going to meddle in domestic politics. Trump followed up by installing Kash Patel, a National Security Council official and former congressional aide, as chief of staff to the new acting defense secretary. Trump and Barr are not rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. They are making sure that loyal people are in place who will ensure that the orders of the president are enforced. To understand what Barr is preparing to confront, you must appreciate the following. I will put it simply. There was an organized conspiracy to interfere in the presidential election and thwart the will of the voters. He makes six key points. First, six states stopped counting the votes on election night at approximately the same time. Five of the six are ruled by Democrat governors. Second, millions of dollars flowed to Black Lives Matter and then were rerouted to Act Blue, which in turn deposited this money into the coffers of the Democrats. This was not legal. It is criminal for a charitable organization to divert those funds to political campaigns. This was a money laundering charge. Third, hundreds of thousands of ballots suddenly appeared in the middle of the night in several of the contested states where Trump was ahead. In Michigan, for example, over 200,000 ballots for Biden appeared magically. Pennsylvania's mail-in ballots showed similar problems. In addition, fourth, ballots also were filled out for voters without their knowledge and did not reflect their true choice. A number of Pennsylvania voters were furious last week when they found that their mail-in ballots had already been filled in for Democrats when they got them. Bauer said the ballots that were already filled out and arrived at homes 40 miles apart, which he says means they were not isolated incidents. They literally stole my vote, said Delmas Fike, that when his mail-in ballot arrived, each Democrat was already selected. Fifth, the voting machines were controlled by elites closely tied to Democrats in the far left. Lord Mark Mullock Brown, a George Soros lieutenant, whose company Smartmatic is intimately tied to Dominion voting systems who flip votes from Trump to Biden. His machine was used in all the swing states. This would explain the Michigan 200,000 vote sudden dump of Biden ballots, while Wisconsin got 100,000 Biden vote dump late night delivery. Dominion voting systems is equally compromised, and we've heard Cindy's observations about it, and I've explained how James Woods observed that Dominion is the only vote counting system that has a printer attached so you can actually revise or even reprint a ballot. Six, the media and social media companies made no pretense of opposing Trump and favoring Biden. They were very open about it. The major media polls falsely and wrongly claimed Joe Biden had an enormous lead over Donald Trump. In his latest podcast with Sun and pollster Jeremy Zogby, for example, John Zogby said, polls showing a bigger Biden lead are using a bad model, one that includes far too many Democrats. His model follows a partisan turnout in 2016 that was about 34% Republicans and about 38% Democrats. We believe that is a more accurate reflection of the turnout model. But others showing a big Biden lead overweighed Democrats. Now, some of the polls that have come out I find troubling, he said, citing CNN, Fox, and YouGov. They gave an average of 15-point advantage to Democrats. CNN had a 16-point lead. Most of these polls especially those used by Fox, CNN, and MSNBC, were absurdly wrong. Methodological error? No. A deliberate information operation, really it should be disinformation operation, designed to discourage Trump voters. Fortunately, the Trump crowd ignored the propaganda. Now, here's an interesting aside. Gambling sites still haven't called the 2020 election for Biden, leaving $600 million in limbo. Online gambling sites have yet to call Biden president-elect, which has put millions of dollars in wages in limbo. At one site alone, London-based Betfair, nearly $600 million in presidential wages are hanging tight. We still have not graded a winner, a sportsbook manager, BetOnline, told the Post, adding that a call awaits resolution on the Trump campaign's legal wranglings. People who bet Trump say it's not over. People who bet Biden say it is. This makes for a tricky situation where we have to be sure. It's not like a football game. And that's left lots of money in the kitty. The presidential election was bigger than the Super Bowl, which is normally our biggest event of the year. We keep taking action. We kept taking action with fluctuating odds for a few days after the election, but now the bet is no longer available, and we're hoping for an official decision. Bookmakers took a bath in 2016. One bookie, Paddy Power, was so confident that Hillary Clinton would win that it actually paid out on all bets placed on her more than 2 weeks before the election. That must have hurt. Meanwhile, Laura Ingraham has exposed Joe Biden's plan for a globalist research. Let me mention a few aspects of it. Joe Biden's team, and we're actually talking about this body double, where I think they're using an impersonator during the debates, may yet turn out to be a significant factor in overturning the results of the election, is already talking about a four-month shutdown of the entire national economy with a globalist reset plans that are going to cripple American freedoms and economy, and where Anthony Fauci, one of the most disgusting turds ever on planet Earth, says masks and social distancing still necessary even after a COVID-19 vaccine, talking about limiting gatherings for Christmas. These people are monstrous. We've had an unusual development here insofar as U.S. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito has spoken out about the circumstances delimiting American freedom at a Federalist Society National Lawyers Convention on Thursday. Listen to this. Now, I'm going to say something that I hope will not be twisted or misunderstood, but I have spent more than 20 years in Washington, so I'm not overly optimistic. In any event, here goes. The pandemic has resulted in previously unimaginable restrictions on individual liberty. Now, notice what I'm not saying or even implying. I'm not diminishing the severity of the virus threat to public health. And putting aside what I will say shortly about a few Supreme Court cases, I'm not saying anything about the legality of COVID restrictions, nor am I saying anything about whether any of these restrictions represent good public policy. I'm a judge, not a policymaker. All that I'm saying is this, and I think it's an indisputable statement of fact. We have never before seen restrictions as severe, extensive, and prolonged as those experienced for most of 2020. It pains me to say this, but in certain quarters, religious liberty is fast becoming a disfavored right, and that marks a surprising turn of events. Considering where things stood in the 1990s, and to me at least, that does not seem like the Jurassic Age. In other words, very rapidly these developments have taken place. Remember now, if you missed the memo about the Great Reset, they're trying to wipe out small businesses and the middle class. In other words, the ability of people to make money. They are leaving open the giant companies like Amazon.com, like Walmart, like Costco, so that they want to really make the public dependent upon the state for any money or funds to buy even the necessities of life. The global reset is going to entail elements like the following: a guaranteed income and a space to live, 300 square feet, and an energy allotment, which you may not exceed, provided that you accept the vaccine program the state wants to impose. Then the state will provide those benefits in return for your relinquishing or surrendering all of your property and assets. They will pay off your mortgages, your student loans, your credit cards, but you'll become a vassal of the state. And if you're resistant to the inoculation program, for example, you'll be declared a public health menace and put into a FEMA camp until you oblige by going along to allow an invasive treatment of your body, not just once, but many times over. And if you continue to resist, you'll be declared an enemy of the state, and I predict your head will be separated from your body. That's the efficient method they utilize. We know there are lots of railroad cars for transporting human beings right here in the USA that were made in China and come equipped with guillotines. That's correct. Equipped with guillotines. Well, there's lots more evidence about the voter fraud, where incredibly Democrats in Georgia rallied for Trump after election fraud, where the Georgia GOP chairman was astonished that the absentee ballot rejection rate dropped dramatically in 2020, when a million more absentee ballots were cast than in 2018, a difference that, by the way, could account for the margin by which Joe Biden was declared the victor, but where a hand count is taking place, where, get this, Bill Gates hired Black Lives Matter students to count ballots in battleground states. I mean, they were leaving no stone unturned to ensure that Joe Biden won most of the key battleground states. Bill Gates and others in positions of influence replaced veteran poll workers with young Black students, also known as Black Lives Matter terrorists, who committed election fraud for pay. According to reports, Gates and his cohorts scared the veteran poll workers into fearing infection with the Wuhan virus, opening the door for young Black activists to swoop in and steal votes for Biden, securing his media-declared victory. The excuse of COVID-19 was used to scare elderly poll workers, who, by the way, knew what they were doing, into bowing out and being replaced by these ringers, who may not realize that they were committing federal felonies. The alteration or the violation of one's right to vote is a federal offense. And if I read Sidney Powell correctly, she is going to pursue every last one. Meanwhile, I would like to mention that if you've ever wondered whether Oliver Stone's JFK was on the right track or simply a crackpot theory about the assassination of our 35th president, yesterday on the Conspiracy Guy, I presented a rather thorough discussion about the medical evidence, the ballistic evidence, the films and photographs and witness evidence, more than sufficient to determine what happened to JFK and did the Warren Report get it right. Among the experts who have made major contributions to JFK research of late, I particularly cited David W. Mantic, MD, PhD, who is a leading expert on the medical evidence in the world today, Larry Rivera, who's made rather fascinating contributions to confirm the identity of the man in the doorway as having been Lee Oswald by finding photographs suitable for superposition, where Larry has mastered the principles of photogrammetry. And when you set the distance between the pupils of the eyes the same, presuming the photographs are the same perspective, you can determine readily whether an individual is or is not the same person, where the man in the doorway fits Lee Oswald to a T, but not Billy Lovelady, whom the government wants to insist was the fellow there instead as a form of distraction, and where Ralph Sinkay, who founded the Oswald Innocence campaign, you can find online, made a major contribution by virtue of his background as a chiropractor, because he deals with people who want to get their bodies into shape so their clothing will fit better, who observed that identifying the man in the doorway, captured in a celebrated photograph by HP photographer James Ike Hulchins, had the height, the weight, the build, the shirt, and the T-shirt Lee Oswald was wearing when he was arrested. Indeed, the Dallas police, who appear to have been responsible for framing him, were so aware of the similarity that they required Lee to take off his outer shirt and to have his mug shirt in a T-shirt, where Ralph has made another sensational discovery that you'll almost find in a state of disbelief. But I assure you, we've done multiple interviews with Ralph about this on the new JFK show I do with Gary King and with Larry Rivera. He discovered that Jack Ruby did not shoot Lee Oswald in the basement. It was rather an FBI agent by the name of James Bookout who was wearing Jack Ruby's clothing. I mean, that's astonishing. They make Jack Ruby in another room take off his clothing. He did not know why. It was so Bookout could put it on when he shot Lee. Meanwhile, all three are going to be among the 24 speakers at my False Flag and Conspiracies 2020 virtual conference, 5 to 6 December 2020. You can learn more about it at the website falseflagconspiracies2020.com. This is one you don't want to miss.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. The the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. There was blood on the wire. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West. Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I've just run across some statistics about numbers of deaths that occur in the United States. Remember, they're telling us and hyping some 210 or 220 deaths from COVID. Well, get this, you know, with a population of over 300 million, you're going to have a fair number of deaths every year. Let me give you a comparison data. In 2010, the population was 309 million plus, and the number of deaths were about 2.5 million. In 2011, the population was 311 million plus. The deaths, 2.5 million. In 2012, the population, 314 million. The deaths, slightly over 2.5 million. We're talking, therefore, about death rates that are a tiny percentage of the normal death rates, and I guarantee you they're doing their best to lump them all in together. I would bet if you died in an automobile accident today, or in an accident by falling off a cliff, or were to commit suicide, your death would be recorded as coronavirus. 2013, population, 316 million plus. Deaths, not quite 2,600,000. 2014, population, 318 million deaths, 2.6 million. 2015, population, 321 plus million deaths, 2.7 million. Notice that the tiny, tiny percentage of COVID deaths in relation to the normal number of deaths. Here's what 2018, population 327 million plus, deaths 2,800,000. 2019, population up 329 million, death 2,855 million. As of September 24th, there are 2,033,736 total deaths in the United States. That's a daily average of 7,588 deaths. 7,588 deaths per day times 365 deaths is means the total number of deaths we can expect based on the numbers so far, 2,769,620. That's actually fewer deaths than in 2019. So the question is, how can we have fewer deaths in the U.S. if there's a pandemic taking place? For the last 100 years, there's never been a decrease in total deaths per year in the United States. If this were a normal year with no pandemic, we should have around 2,875,000 deaths. But this isn't a normal year. So we should end up with around 3,200,000 deaths when you add in COVID-19. Something, someone isn't telling us the truth. And right at the core of the matter is Dr. Anthony Tony the Rat Fauci. Completely disgusting. Mitchell, you're from Virginia, of course, and just before we went on the air, I shared with you an article showing there were also patterns of massive voter fraud in Virginia. Would you be able to share some of the content of that article with us here and now?
Well, I perused through the article. It's very interesting, Jim. And it essentially equates to the same type of voter machine shenanigans that we've seen in other states. The reduction of Trump votes or the ghosting of Trump votes and the flipping of votes to Joe Biden. There's a serious problem, period. And we, the media, the mainstream media, and the courts seem to believe that you can say, no, we don't have any serious widespread voter issues without any investigation.
Absolutely. Mitchell, you're putting your finger right on it.
How can you say something is definitive when you have no basis to say it's definitive?
When you don't have any relevant evidence, right? That's exactly right.
All of the journalists who say there's no voter fraud have not done any investigation. They do the typical journalism where a talking head, maybe they're talking out their arse at the time, but they tell the reporter something and the reporter takes it and writes it as if it came from the mountain, from Moses came down with it from the mountain. And it's just, it's just not true. I saw this happening in my local newspaper when I worked there. And, I was of the person like, look, you have to challenge these guys. You just can't take what they say in their press release and, rewrite it, reformulate it, and call it news. It's not. It's state government propaganda. The Fourth Estate, which is supposed to protect the truth, has actually become the fifth column that we have, we are facing here in the United States of America, that the media itself has always been this yellow journalism, but it has turned from yellow journalism to the petty aspirations of the editors and the owners of these newspapers to the professional political class and the professional propaganda that we see written by journalists today. Well, we are in serious trouble.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, the media is bought and paid for. They're nothing but a bunch of shills and propagandists. It's disgusting. I'm even worried about Fox. There's a story I haven't presented that Fox may decide to create his own media company and slam Fox because he believes that Fox, for example, by calling Arizona early, far too early to have been responsible, was contributing to the belief Trump was going to lose. There are many different ways in which Fox has fallen short, where I have heretofore believed, nevertheless, that Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, and Sean Hannity, in my opinion, the weakest of the three, have nevertheless been doing a lot of good by representing conservative voices. Hannity, for example, has repeatedly interviewed Trump, but he's very pissed off about what they have done, how they've handled themselves during this election, and suggested that the difference between the 2016 and 2020 elections was Fox. We've been joined by area code 408. I believe I'm going to hear a familiar voice. Please do join us.
Well, we live in interesting times, do we not?
We do, Paul. How are you?
Before we get into the politics, which you know I am perfectly prepared to do. So, Jim, how did you like that 49-point beatdown your team put on Michigan in the Big House?
Isn't that beautiful? It's the greatest victory margin ever suffered by the University of Michigan. And would you believe, Paul, the team played that game without having any practice? They hadn't had any practice for weeks before they played that game. And you could see they were a little rusty with a couple of those passes that ought to have been complete, but we'll take it. It was very satisfying. And they've moved us up to number 10. In the NCAA rankings, behind Indiana at number 9 and Ohio State as number 3.
Yeah, to me, it was one of the easiest things I saw on the board, as they say, a 3.5-point lay on the road. And something about Michigan this year is off. I think this should be the nail in Harbaugh's coffin, because you know, with Michigan's tradition and history and cachet, he's got to be able to recruit the same caliber of athletes that Wisconsin does. So it's got to be coaching. I mean, it's been a downward spiral for Michigan.
You know, historically, the weakest position of Wisconsin teams has been at quarterback. And what we had, because Jack Cohn, who's a serviceable quarterback, but in my opinion, not outstanding, we had this guy Mertz come in. He was a 4-star prospect. He picked us over all the other big teams, and he's just been sensational. The opening game against Illinois, he completed 21 of 22 passes, 17 in a row, 5 touchdown passes. He was setting records right and left. So we've been really looking forward to what the season would be like when we were smacked down by a coronavirus timeout that took 2 weeks to recover. And even then we were missing 6 or 8 of our good players were not there against Michigan. They had a couple out too, but it was a very satisfying victory. Paul, I'm glad you bring it up.
Yeah, let's just hope when they play Ohio State, which I look forward to, most years, that they let some damn fans in the stands, for God's sake.
Here's what's interesting is next weekend, Indiana, which is ranked number 9, is going to play Ohio State number 3. They cannot both win, of course. And we will be playing Indiana, and we will, in the championship game, I believe, play Ohio State. And that should be one hell of a game. But I'm telling you, we have a superb team this year.
Right. And apparently this is one of Indiana's better years in decades, because they've been going through everybody like
listen, Paul, I earned my PhD in the history and the philosophy of science at Indiana. We have a daughter went to Indiana. My wife's first husband got his PhD at Indiana. My son-in-law in Bloomington is a vice provost at Indiana. So, you know, for Indiana, which has historically had really good basketball teams, especially under Bobby Knight, to have a good football team is really quite extraordinary. And this team is very, very good.
It's great country too. I don't know if you recall, but I told you before, I grew up in Ohio as a kid. And when I was in the Boy Scouts, we used to go on hikes on occasion to Indiana. I got a couple of patches, you know, sometimes back in the day, in the good old days of America, like in the 60s and so forth, you could get, you know, you go on a hike with your troop and, you know, everybody gets a patch and they can put it on their uniform after you're done with the hike.
Well, Paul, I'm delighted you brought up the football. We have had Brew join us, and I'm sure he has other subjects on his mind. So let's bring him in for a few minutes, and then I'll come back to you, Brew.
All righty.
Hello, Jim.
How are you?
Good, good. You know, I was fortunate to catch your first hour, and I must say, Jim, I didn't know you were so political.
That's pretty funny. Go ahead, Brew. Lay it on.
And also, you may be happy to know, I too have been to Indiana. Imagine that. We have so much in common.
Really? You mean to IU?
No, Indiana, the state.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway,
yeah.
I digress. So, yeah, no, that was a good hour. You cover Sidney Powell and you know, Dominion and, you know, their shenanigans. This is a whole mouthful. People think that Donald Trump and his administration were just sitting on their laurels since he got into office. You know, they did everything. They threw everything at him all these years. It was pretty much the figurative assassination on the president, along with the many literal assassination attempts. But they threw everything, and throughout all that, he still managed to have all this other stuff going on. That's what a good CEO does. They multitask, and then they put people in charge of things, and they have them run with the ball with instruction. And that's what they've been doing.
Ruth, this is some kind of political genius. I'm so in awe of Donald Trump. He's got to be like the smartest president we've ever had to simultaneously confront and deal with all these multiple attacks from every direction, to have the mainstream media vicious against him, all the social media giants censoring, attacking conservative voices in support for him, and then the Democratic Party to run such a disgusting campaign using Dominion to steal the election. He appears to have prepared for it all and be coping like mad, and I can't wait for the bombs to begin dropping. Sydney has promised she would start to unload today.
Yeah, but here's the big takeaway. Dominion has been around for a while. The voting machines, the vote flipping and whatnot has been around for a while. The hammer, the computer system, the supercomputer they're using has been around since 2004 and then enhanced back in 2008, which Obama ended up, you know, they used to help Obama get into office. And then not only did they help Obama get into office, Obama used that system with scorecard and whatnot to reassure, to make certain that he was elected for the second time. And then they unleashed all that in 2016. Now, we often call Donald Trump the accidental president. And the reason why is because he is. He was never supposed to be elected because they had all the same things they're doing now they were doing in 2016, except the one thing they weren't counting on is the massive wave of people that came out to vote for Donald Trump in 2016.
Yes.
That's the difference. This time they were ready for it, but they still weren't ready for it. And we'll get to that. I want to stick on 2016 for a minute. They call him the accidental president because they weren't prepared, and there was no amount of cheat, no amount of whatever, fudging the numbers they could do without making it obvious in 2016 that they were flipping votes, stealing the election, and whatever. And that's when the people in the background, because we often talk, and these other people got to reflect, because we have 4 years of a lot. This last 4 years has been chaos. We've dealt with so much. We've been through so many different topics and narratives and analyzing things. But if you go back to the 2016 election, there was those 13 states, the 13 states that Hillary Clinton and the Democrats stole from Bernie Sanders, from the primaries. And those same 13 states were going to be key states that they were going to use during a presidential election. Well, as this massive wave of people came out to vote for Donald Trump because his messaging awoken something inside them and they came out in full force, they were not prepared for such a thing. And as they were stealing those states, they were behind the scenes, that Dominion and whatnot, were stealing it and doing all the stuff that they're doing today, except somebody else overrode them and said, you guys got to stop. You got to stop now because this is, you're lost. There's no way you can fudge this to make it look like she legitimately won. People came out that powerful for Donald Trump. Now that's how it got thwarted. Then they had to go to plan B. That's when they ran off to Judge Roberts and the whole, this, everything started. That's when everything started because they boom, she had to concede. He won. What? I won? Really? Yes, you won, Donald. And then it all started from there. Now, now this time around, they tried the same stuff and they were prepared, but they still weren't prepared enough because people came out in full-fledged. That man went out and he worked. He worked. He earned your vote. He went out to those rallies, many states, many stops per day, spoke in front of millions of people, not just in person, but over the internet. And they came out and they did their job. The voters of America, the Heritage Americans, went out and did their job. They voted. Now it's in his camp. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're right, Brew, on all counts. I mean, Pelosi, who's chief of staff, is the chief executive officer of Dominion, thought she had a lock. That's why she was assuring all of her caucus in the House they were going to increase their representation. It was going to be a blue wave, so that now that they've actually lost perhaps as many as 25 seats, there's outrage among the Democrats in the House. And frankly, I do not believe Nancy Pelosi will continue as Speaker. That will be collateral damage. But the obviousness of the theft in this case, Brew, it's just astonishing, just astonishing. On my blog, if you go to jamesfetzer.org, there's a wonderful piece by an odds maker explaining how it's obvious to anyone who is following the odds and how the election evolved that it was stolen, that it's obvious. And I underline that it is obvious. Paul, I want to bring you back in to respond to what Brew and I are saying here about the election and so forth and whatever else.
Yeah, well, your timing is perfect because let's key on what you just said, obvious, and you repeated it several times. And by the way, welcome back, Brew. It's like 2018 again with you on the show and me. Now, I'm not going to read part of it. I did on another show, but Miles Mathis has a paper. It's 13 pages. It's about all of this, and he's been updating it as the days go by. And he contends that this is all scripted. Okay, so I don't know. He makes a compelling case. I don't agree with everything he says. But essentially, he says basically that it's laid out for Trump to win again, but they're going to create maximum discomfort for both sides and drag out as much drama as they can. So we shall see. I mean, I want it to be real. I got to admit, Jim, after watching quite a few of Trump's rallies, because a buddy of mine is kind of a Trump-tard, and, you know, he's not awake like we are, but, you know, he knows that, of course, Biden is just a ridiculous person. And anybody can see that the Democratic Party and the Black Lives Matter and Antifa movement is just, it's death to America. So, of course, anybody with any sense is for Trump. So he's, you know, got on his YouTube TV. He just watches all these rallies, and I've taken in quite a few just hanging out with him. And I got to give it to the people that Trump has a certain authenticness which comes through. Okay, how much of it is real, I don't know. And when I heard, when I woke up the next morning and heard that Biden had won, I just shook my head and they got me a little bit. I got to admit, it was a gut punch.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. Now tell me, why does Miles Mathis think they're going to play this script, as he calls it? I mean, what's the point?
Well, because elections are not real, basically. And if you guys remember, and you may not, but I've been touting a book called Vote Scam. I've mentioned it on this show at least two times or more, going back a couple of years. You can read it online in PDF form. I probably have the actual paper copy somewhere in a box, maybe. But yeah, in the book Vote Scam, I mean, electronic vote stealing and computers with back doors and computers with the so-called proprietary software have been around forever. And they stole the primaries for Bush. The first chapter goes into how the New Hampshire primary with John Sununu, if you remember that name, John Sununu was a governor of New Hampshire. Later, Bush made him his chief of staff because they stole the New Hampshire primary for Bush in 1988. So that's how long this goes back. So they've been stealing elections and switching votes for a long time. I know that you are not shocked by this. So I just have to ask myself, and I just pose this question to you just for discussion. I don't claim all knowledge. I'm a spectator like all of us. But you see how blatant it is. It's like they don't care if they're caught. I mean, think about, you use the word obvious. It's like, it's egregious. It's blatant. It's all these other adjectives you could just dig up and apply to it. It's like they want you to catch them, for God's sake. I mean, Nancy Pelosi's, what did you say, her chief of staff, you know, yeah. being the CEO of the company, Dianne Feinstein's husband being a major investor in the company. It's like, for God's sake, you just want to put your finger in your mouth and throw up servers in other countries. Well, how the hell did this happen? Why would we need servers in another country for our own election? You know, it's not the deep state so much. You know what I want to call the deep state. It's the deep synagogue. And if Trump is for real, he's got to have the will to power. If he's asking my advice, I'm almost done, and then I'll throw it back to you or Brew. If Trump was asking my advice right now, make a list of 200 names, the top 200 names. The first 100, we just execute right off the bat while the other 100 watch, and then the other 100 will start talking. And most of those are going to be tried for sedition, treason, you know, malfeasance in office. I mean, all kinds of stuff, including all these governors and mayors that are outright traitors to our country and have placed the public in jeopardy. They've destroyed lives, property, businesses. Okay, this has got to get real. If it's not going to be real, then we're just going to be going through the same crap 4 years from now. If he leaves the deep synagogue in power, you know, what's the difference of whether he wins an election?
We could not survive 4 years of a Biden-Harris because they're going to impose the Great Reset. And we're all going to be reduced to serfs and slaves. It won't be pleasant. It'll be god-awful. And that's why I say on 20 January, if Joe Biden is inaugurated, that is the signal for the second American Revolution. Lock and load, stock in your supplies, pack plenty of ammo, because by God, all hell is going to break loose. We got the break, and then we'll come back to Brew. I'm glad you're both here. Thanks.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
She
travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Before I turn it over to Brew, I just got a post-election data analysis from Investors Watch blog, which is highly responsible, showing 500,000 votes were switched from Trump to Biden. Another 2.9 million Trump votes were simply deleted. Let me tell you, the biggest state appears to have been Pennsylvania, that they switched 220,883 votes from Trump to Biden and lost nearly 1,941,248. Another big state was Virginia, that they switched 12,163, but they lost 789,023. I mean, this is staggering stuff. In Minnesota, they switched 2,766, but lost 195,650. I mean, those are huge numbers that would have reversed the outcomes in those states. Brew, your thoughts.
Well, welcome back to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, with James Fetzer, the Raw Deal, on this Monday, November 16th, 2020, speaking about the elections and the fraud and the assassination of President, the attempted assassination of President Trump for the umpteenth time, the grand poopah of assassination attempts, the final coup, the last trick up their sleeve. But here we are today discussing it and all that is revealed and much more that we cannot discuss, because we still have yet to hear all the goodies that are coming out by Sidney Powell, Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, and all the other characters and cast that they have behind the scenes working on this.
Rue, what do you make of this? Paul is promoting mild mass, this thought that this is all scripted. I mean, frankly, I find that very difficult to believe. I think this is a really serious effort to take out Trump and to kill America. I think that's what it's all about. For the sake of the global reset, it seems to me they have dumped everything into this. The idea that this is scripted, to me, is frankly on the verge of preposterous, but I would like your take.
This is a script. Yes, indeed. It's a scripted agenda that goes back a very, very long time, pre-America. You know, this goes back so far back, but to communize in a certain sense, to spread evil throughout the world for a remote few, to control everything, to own everything, to have everything. And anybody that walks the earth, the soil, and whatever is not under God, is not a free person. They are a servant, a slave. They are should be thankful that they have the breath to breathe, because these few that are ruling over them allow it to be. But maybe I
wasn't clear. I mean, according to Miles Mathis, Trump is going to prevail. And he's claiming scripted for the sake of Trump prevailing. I don't get it. I can't see it.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal with Paul. And Paul and many others, okay? And it could even be me, because in the back of my head, it could be me too. Because I do have that pessimistic side. I do have that side of me that says, am I being fooled? Am I being just, you know, am I being gaslighted? You know, because, you know, we got so many things that, you know, come at us over all this time, not just during the Trump administration, but since, you know, all the history we learned from the raw deal and any guests that Russ has and, you know, Tex Mars and just on down the line, all these people, David Icke and so on, that just bring out all this history and hidden secrets and facts and talking about the occult and so many different things. But that pessimism, you got to shake it off at some point. There's at some point you got to pick a side, Paul. And I want to inspire you here. I'm not getting down on you. I really want to inspire you and anybody listening. You got to pick a side at some point. At some point, you got to believe in something and say, you know what, this could be for real. This could be for real. Because this American Revolution actually started on November 3rd, 2016, when those Americans, those heritage Americans, went out and said, you know what? We're tired of all that old crap. We're tired. We know something's been wrong in this nation and around the world. We're going out. We're not voting for the same old Hillary Clintons and Obamas and Bushes and whatever, the people that shove in our face that we know nothing ever changes. It only seems to get worse. So they went out and they started that revolution on November 3rd, 2016. That was when the revolution started. It's just a continuation today. Now,
I love it. And I've been very impressed listening to you doing your show. It's really an awesome experience. But I want to come back to Paul with a following point. What does Miles Mathis think is the point of this script, Paul? I still don't get it. If Trump is returned, I say thank God. But I can't understand why the forces allied against him would let it happen.
Okay, well, all right. So, you know, to what Brew was just saying, too. So, yeah, I was one of them. I was one of the people in 2016 that came out and voted for Trump. I made clear on this show when I was calling in before, I did not vote for 30-plus years. I think I might have voted for Jimmy Carter, if I'm not mistaken. But I never voted, and I've made clear on this show and other places I've called in that I think in many ways it's like George Carlin says, it's an illusion of participation. If we don't get to decide policy or law, then what's the point? It's a popularity contest, and they're always disappointing us. I'll just make one point, and then I'll move on. I could compile a list of 50, and I bet you every single time I mentioned part of my list of 50, Jim Fetzer and Chicago Brew and everybody else who listened to the show would nod their heads. So here's one. The 1986 Act, which indemnified vaccine companies, right? Would anybody have voted for that of the people of the United States of America? No, that would not have passed. So what government does is give us the illusion of participating by voting for people, and then they just ram down our throats and roll over us like they've done now with this COVID-19 bullshit. The bottom line is it's all a fraud and a farce. It's by a simulation of legal process. People don't know that these governors can't give orders. People don't know that President Joe Biden can't issue an executive order and people are subject to it. That's not how it works, but they will believe it, and they will obey because they don't understand the division, the branches of government, the Constitution, or history, or nothing. They're taking advantage of our ignorance. So having said that, I obviously want to take my chances with Trump before I take my chances with Joe Biden. But if all Trump does is build a few more hundred miles of wall and appoint more Goldman Sachs Jews to cabinet positions, then I don't care about the presidency. And I would make the same point to all these rioting Antifas and Black Lives Matters and everybody else in the streets. Name one president in their life that has ever done them any harm or done them any good. Okay, I don't know one governor or one president or one mayor that's ever helped me one bit. Okay,
so we got to do one battle at a time. We got to pick a battle. You know, I'd rather fight against Trump and what he's got going on than fight the death cult.
Obviously, I made it clear I'll take my chances with Trump before anybody, and especially for Biden. Everybody can see Biden as a joke. It's a joke. I mean, even real Democrats that are somewhat intelligent have to cringe when they listen to him talk. So the only votes that Biden got, in my opinion, were anti-Trump votes. And you know there's plenty of them out there. But this country is a mess, and they're trying to disenfranchise one group, and that's white men in particular and white people in general. All right? And look who they're promoting. The media, which is – it's not a state-controlled media. It's a media-controlled state. They're interlocked. They're one and the same.
Right, Jim, and this is our chance to take them all down, Paul. We could take them all down because, look, the media
–
The media being the fifth column is a part of this fraud. Their lies and their narratives and so on with Twitter and Facebook and CNN and NBC and whatever, they have exposed themselves. Look, they've exposed themselves. They've been exposing themselves for years. And they're owned by foreign nationals. Look, Rupert Murdoch is from Australia, owns Fox News. Then you have all these other people from Israel and so on that own all the other networks and Facebook and so on.
Great. Go ahead. So let me ask you a question, Bruce. So just, and you'll like this question because everybody can identify the problem. We're all good. You, me, Giuseppe, Scorpio, everybody's good about talking about the problem. We can all identify it and some of us can articulate it. So let me ask you a question. We put you in power. What are you doing? Are you going to take down these people? For example, I wouldn't hesitate to dismantle CNN. I would take down the FBI, the CIA. All these people are corrupt. They're riddled with, if they're not riddled with Jews, they're riddled with Chavez Goy cooperators and deep state operatives. The FBI has got to be completely dismantled and taken down to the ground. What is it that they do but go around and try to set up Arabs and set up white nationalists and try to make a beat for terrorism?
The biggest terrorist organization in the United States is the FBI. That we established that.
Correct.
Absolutely. All the FBI has ever been since Franklin Delano Roosevelt put them in an official capacity has been a strong arm and the henchmen of the Democrat Party. That's all they've ever been to this very day. That's what they are.
So the main point I'm making is this. So many people hate Trump anyway, right? They're going to call him a fascist. They're going to call him a Nazi. They're going to make those accusations anyway. He's at a point in his life, he's got to be, where he knows how many people already like him and love him, and he knows a certain amount of people hate him, and he should not care. Okay, do you care? I don't care. I know all my life that I'm about a 50%er. 50% of the people that I bump into or interact with, I probably piss off, and they don't like me. And the other 50%, variations of fondness and approval.
Which,
it's just the way it is in life.
Which do you think Donald Trump cares more that, is more touched that supports him? Is it the millions of Americans, the hundreds of millions of Americans, heritage Americans, and even foreign national emigrant Americans that support him this day? And even a lot of people around the world that look to Donald Trump and wish that he was running their country or some type of influence in their country? Because this is a worldwide phenomenon that Trump has done.
Oh,
do you think he cares more about that? Or do you think he cares about the few evil eugenicists that want to call human beings and backs poison them and steal their lands? Which one do you think he sides with? Because now here's the thing. Do you know who Donald Trump is? Donald Trump is a guy that worked in construction. He met with electricians, carpenters, laborers, architects. He met with human beings. He met with salespeople, so all sorts of people. He wasn't just sheltered in an office. He was actually in touch with the workers, with the people, walking properties, all sorts of things. So he actually has a human connection. Now, if Donald Trump ran a pharmaceutical company and was a guy in a suit that had limited contact with other humans other than his CEOs and his board members and the scientists.
All right.
That would be a totally different story. Then we would talk. Then Donald Trump would be the eugenicist. But what has Donald Trump been? He's been a man of the people. He's been the blue collar guy, the blue collar billionaire. What is Donald Trump's history?
Let Brew give his piece. Go ahead.
Now, Donald Trump's history, his dad, the John Birch Society, and Donald Trump knows about the conspiracy theories. Donald Trump is really mad about John F. Kennedy being assassinated. He's really mad about John F. Kennedy Jr. and his family. He's really mad about all this stuff. Donald Trump came out on the day of September 11th and said, listen, let me finish. He came out and he said all this stuff. Now, Donald Trump, think about this. Why, after all these years, they don't have all this time, they still don't have any solid dirt on Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump, no billionaire has ever gone through life without being so sweet and clean. But apparently, Donald Trump never kitty diddled. Donald Trump never did all this nasty stuff that you hear about Hunter Biden, Hillary Clinton, whomever, doing Anthony Weiner, and whatever. And they would have known all this stuff about Donald because they've been wiretapping him since 2004 with the Hammer supercomputer, along with hundreds of thousands and millions of other people. They would have known, and to this very day, they still can't come up with anything on him. But Donald Trump knows what they've done. Donald Trump knows their cult. Donald Trump knows their kitty diddlers and this and that and the other thing.
Okay,
he knows their skeletons in the closet. So who has Donald Trump been? He's been the Bruce Wayne. He's been the billionaire playboy that was back behind the scenes. And now that he's come out as Batman, they hate him because the criminals don't like Batman.
I like it. Go ahead, Paul.
So, Brew, if you heard Giuseppe on a couple of calls, and Giuseppe, if you're listening, shout out to you. He said, "I'm from Missouri, the Show Me State." So, look, I don't disagree with a lot of your sentiments about Trump, but we don't know for sure. You don't know the man, so you've made a lot of assertions. You've made a lot of suppositions. I'd like to believe it, okay? I'd like to believe it, but here's the thing, okay? He's done a lot and said a lot that is very troubling, okay? I don't have to sit and name it all. I've done it on other shows, okay? So you know that there's aspects of this that have to have you question it. In order for anybody to critique what I say, all I'm just saying is what I've read and heard and what I think. You want to read Miles Mathis' paper? It's 13 pages. Go read it.
I don't need to read Miles Mathis because I know exactly what he's done. He talks about ventilators. He just said ventilators the other day when he was talking about the vaccine. It came out on the White House lawn and says, "We're coming up with the vaccine, the Pfizer and Cuomo don't want it." And no one in the whole wide world ever went without a ventilator. And we know the ventilators are death machines. So he does all sorts of things. He supported Parkland. He supported Las Vegas. He interacted with Charlottesville. Believe me, he's been a false flag president on so many occasions, and he spreads lies. He talks about al-Baghdadi, how they killed him, and this and that, and whoever they killed in Iran. Believe me, there's so many red flags. I agree with you. Moving the embassy to Israel, blah, 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 and then the Golan Heights. Believe me, I know. I'm well aware of these things, man. But you know what? I got to give in at some point. Because we just might have a chance because all these elections have been rigged for...
Look, Brew, you had almost probably, I don't know, 7 to 10 minutes where you just ran there. So let me just go a couple here and then we can go back to whoever. So I don't disagree with a lot of what you say. We're on the same team, okay? It's just the idea of this kind of trust factor, which you seem to have morphed into. I don't recall it being there before, and I can understand your reasons for it. But the bottom line is I don't have to believe, okay? I don't have to choose
said it.
The team. I can
pick a side,
can
Paul.
Watch.
You can't play the fence no more. You're either a communist or you're coming where we got a revolution going on. You got to pick a side.
You're either red or blue. Is that come on, Brew?
You got to pick a side, man, because there's no more playing on the fence. Look, if we don't run through with there's a hole in the enemy's defenses right now. There is a hole in the enemy's defenses. We need to widen that hole. We need to get through the gap. And right now is our best chance. They're exposing the voting system. They're exposing the fraud. Look, for decades, we have not elected anybody. Nancy Pelosi should not be in office. Chuck Schumer should not be in office. Dianne Feinstein, none of these people should be in office. They probably voted for Mitchell Bupp, and Mitchell Bupp got his election stolen because they rigged it. Now, we want the Mitchell Bupps. We want the Pauls. We want these people to get their city council seats. We want them to get their mayoral seats. We want to get their governorships and senators and so on. We want to get this country back to where we actually own and operate it because they've been doing this so long that's why we're in such the mess we are. That's why communism is so strong here today.
Okay, but Brew, listen to me. All right, fine. Okay, great. All these points you just made, fantastic. But a lot of them didn't need to be said. Here's the deal. What are we going to do about it? All right. All I can do is make my opinions known. If Trump wants me to do something, fine. All he's got to do is ask me, deputize me. If Trump's for real, he can do a mild vetting process and deputize most of the Proud Boys and all his MAGA fans, and we can clean this mess up in a hurry. So many people would be on his side, but he's got to have the will to power. If he doesn't show me the will to power in the first 6 months to a year, and you know what I'm talking about historically. He's got to be willing to be authoritarian. We got to go through a little bit of authoritarian fascism to get out to the other side. There's no way out of these. These people are too powerful, okay?
I've been enjoying this exchange very much. I'm clearly overwhelmingly on Bruce's side as opposed to yours, Paul, but let me throw into the hopper. The Investment Watch blog has just published, in case you're confused, Congress made an official statement, there is no president-elect as of now, which means Joe Biden has been falsely claiming to be president-elect. The media has been falsely confirming a president-elect. It's all bullshit, coming with a formal statement from Congress. I like that. Brew, go back. Go ahead, Brew.
Hey, Jim, did you watch the Andy McCabe hearings last week?
No. Tell me about it.
Well, they during these hearings, it was supposed to be about General Flynn and how General Flynn was railroaded and the 2016 election and so on and so forth. But during that time, the Democrat senators decided to keep talking about Joe Biden and he's president-elect and how he should be recognized and how proud they are and so on and so forth. And then even, you know, Klobuchar said our greatest threat in the United States is white nationalists. And so on and so forth. So they kept throwing this stuff at Andy McCabe that had nothing to do with General Flynn and whatnot. And one of the things they said to him was they asked him a question. Oh, do you think there's any problem with fraud or anything in this election and mail-in voting and so on and so forth? And they threw this question to him to give credibility to Biden's alleged win, right? And he's like, and Andy McCabe's like, oh, as long as I've been in the office of the FBI, we've seen no evidence of voter fraud, and there should be no problem with the mail-in voting and so on and so forth. But what do we have out of it? We have counterfeiting. We have forgery. We have interference with the United States Postal Service. We have crime scene after crime scene. We have people disposing of federal government property, your property. When you have your vote, Jim, and you sent it in for it to be counted, whether in person or by mail, and they destroyed it, that was a crime. These are crime scenes. But yet Andy McCabe sat on that bench and said, well, there's no evidence of any type of thing, blah, 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 and these elections are solid. The voting system is solid. So on this testimony and them trying to give credibility, he was obviously backing up, you know. But let's put it this way. You say the media, how the media is lying, their narrative or whatever. So if we were to take Andy McCabe's testimony, his answer there, as true, then nobody's ever robbed the bank. Nobody's ever stolen money. Nobody's ever forged a check. Nobody's ever counterfeited anything. And none of these things, crimes, ever happened if it couldn't happen in the election.
Well, all this stuff makes my point perfectly, okay? Like, all right, will Trump arrest people? Will he have people arrested and prosecute one person, arrest one person if he gets power?
I think in the next 10 days, you're going to see plenty of arrests. You stand by. I'm convinced of it. It's going to happen. It's a necessity. It's a necessity.
We all want to. We all want to. That's all the point
Brew,
I'm making.
Brew, do you want to add further thoughts, Brew?
Well, let's just backtrack a little bit. Dude, Paul, the reason there hasn't been mass arrests over the last 4 years because of the Department of Justice, the DOJ, the Department of Jews, if that's what you want to call it, has been corrupt. Those guys in the black robes, they were all bought and paid for. He could not bring anybody into court with a mountain of evidence against them with the judge making the final verdict. And the judge would go, well, that seems like a lot of evidence, but you know what? We're going to let him go. That's what was going on, because we know the good people were getting, you know, the speeding ticket, getting 10 years in jail, and while somebody was kitty-diddling, got a slap on the hand and told to be good and goodbye. That's what was going on. So he couldn't walk anybody in front of any of these judges. He had to fix the justice system. We got over 300 federal judges, 3 Supreme Court judges. I don't know how this is going to fly. I don't know how these people are or whatever, because I haven't seen them, talk to them, nothing. But we will see. He couldn't do anything until then. Now we got a lot in place. Now things could actually start going. So, but it's not done because we have over 100 so years of corruption in this country. Abraham Lincoln did the Reconstruction, and you know it went downhill from there. Now, Joe Biden was supposed to do Reconstruction himself. He was the next Abraham Lincoln. Instead of killing, instead of killing hundreds of thousands of Southerners, he was going to kill millions of Americans all across the nation. And then he was going to reconstruct America for the third time.
I don't disagree with almost everything that you say. That's soft. I agree with a lot of what you say, and a little softer way to put it is I don't disagree. But I think Jim will realize when I say this, and you will too, to make the obvious point that we are dealing with, very entrenched power, that there's no way, there's no voting our way out of this. So if indeed Trump gets in and he's put in power again, then he's got to go. It's go time. I mean, look at what they've done, right? If you believe Jim's work on Joe Biden, and it's compelling with the whole double situation, right? And look at what the state, the media state, the deep state media-controlled state is doing. They're putting him up on a podium with a background that says President-elect Biden and Build Back Better and all this crap. They're assuming the sale. If you know anything about the sales process, they are writing the order and assuming the sale right now. And this is just they're demonstrating their power and they don't care. So if Trump gets in and it's really not scripted and he's really authentic, then it's go time. And that's all I want. And that's what the American people want.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
I agree.
Okay. Thank you.
Good.
It's just the gaslighting. The whole thing from Russia collusion to the Ukraine call to this, that, and the other, the 25th Amendment. It's all, this is true because we said so. White nationalists, white people are the greatest terrorist group in the United States, blah, blah, blah.
Because
we said so. Believe me, none of this is holding water. They could put president-elect, they could put Bozo the Clown on his podium, but it doesn't mean it's true. Okay, let's just wait it out. Just hold tight, Paul. I appreciate your research and your different views and so on and so forth. But I want you to be inspired, man. I want you to be on board, man. We need you for this fight. We need you for this fight, Paul, because there's going to be another one upcoming. And if it's against Trump, so be it. Because I guarantee you, I'm going to disagree with a lot he has to do. Go ahead.
Listen, I've been just ecstatic to have you here with such a vigorous debate. I want to just add my observation that if Joe Biden were to be inaugurated on 20 January, they may shut down the internet. They may try to keep us from communicating. But that inauguration will mark the beginning of the second American Revolution. You can lock and load, stock up supplies, because by God, I and others are not going to stand by and allow them to take this country and kill it, which is the plan with Biden and Harris. It's outrageous beyond words. And I believe there are at least 130 million Americans who agree with me, and we're not going to let it stand. You guys have been terrific. Mitchell, thanks for hosting. We'll be back tomorrow.
Good stuff today. All right.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.